good. I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything else. I mean, I'm going to tell you some stuff, but I'm not going to pretend that I'm not tired. I'm tired physically. This week was a very good wolf week. I have to switch. Is there such a thing, a good rough week? Yes. There is. It's all about perspective. I told you last week, what would it cost you to follow Jesus? What did it, I ask you two questions. What did it cost Jesus to come after us? What did he pay for all of us? He paid it all. What did Jesus pay so we could have intimacy with him and Father? Guys, you know the Bible. You guys are not just new believers. You know it cost him his... I mean, he renounced who he was and come here and live. I tell you, live on this earth for 3 years. Something I would really love to do, maybe some of the youngins, because there is a way now, there's an open door where we can fly to Haiti on a safer area, not to Port-au-Prince. But I'd love to take some of you youngins with me for 2 weeks. No phones. Get disconnected. Yeah. I'd love to do that. I tell you, I came back. I'm so glad to be back home, because this is home. This is where God wants us. But man, I love the faith that's there, over there. You know, Captain was talking about it. How would you feel to be in, feel like you in exile in your own country? It broke our hearts. Kendra, do you want to share something? Are you good? Okay, maybe give her some, because she's a wreck. Give her some days. To see your own people being in exile, living like they're in exile, like they're immigrants, illegal immigrants, suffering. Now we're talking, that's more like in Port-au-Prince. Get desperate. Don't feel so comfortable. Get desperate for the Lord. What would it cost you to have a personal intimacy with the Lord, that you don't let anything take that away from you? Nothing, we sing it. Nothing can take that away from me. What would it cost? What would it gain a man, a woman? What's the worth to gain the whole world? There's a verse like this, right? And loses your soul. True riches is the one who is rich in faith. True, which is a move of faith. By faith. Driving from here to your house should be a move of faith. Oh, let's pray for our food. Thank you, God, for our food. Amen. I tell you, you should try to go 3 days without eating. Just for the discipline. Just for the discipline. We used to do it with our kids. When we fast, the whole house fast. Everybody fast. Why? It's just a good discipline. It teaches us to be thankful. It gives us, it creates in us an attitude of thankfulness. This week I did not read my Bible, because I didn't have time. But guess what? I didn't sin because I didn't read my Bible. God didn't leave me because I didn't read my Bible. So it's not law. It's not, oh, I didn't read my Bible. No. I was being a disciple of Christ. I encourage many. We lived undercover. Most people didn't even know what happened to us, or if we're there or not, if we were there or not. But I want to thank each one of you for your prayers. And I know you were wearing. I was afraid too. But I took a step of faith. We said, well, if we're dead, guess what? We said it. We made our peace. Because we knew this is something we had to do. You know, I'm talking in code, right? But all of you knows what I'm talking about. Let us keep praying for Haiti, the missionaries, our churches. Let us continue to do our best to encourage them, support them, feed them, be an encouragement. I will be going, maybe not through Port-au-Prince, but I've created a new pathway. What will it cost you to follow Jesus? What will it cost you to be a devoted disciple of Jesus? Someone who is madly in love. Have you ever been in love? I am. I'm still in love with my wife. I intend to keep it that way till death set us apart. And some of you, your husband passed, or your wife, you're still in love with that person. Some of you are like, man, I'll never find anybody else like him. I still love him, even if he's dead. Make sure you're madly in love with God. And don't let anything come between you and God. Anything. Why? Because the enemy is always after your relationship with God. Satan is always after your relationship with people. I encountered some people this week that were just offended over nothing. Some people got offended because I went and I didn't tell them. I mean, I'm talking about mad. I mean, get mad. They're so mad because I came. But when I look at life, the pressure, peace, when all the circumstances around you doesn't create peace. You know you have joy when everything is after your joy. I mean, you know you love your wife when you really hate her. You don't have to bear witness. But you know you really love your neighbor when you really hate him. Why? Because love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not boastful. Love doesn't take, love gives. You know you really love someone when you... Why do I say that? Because it's love. You're gonna show you love when you feel like, I don't love him. But you make a choice. I make a choice. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to accept. I'm going to honor. That's what you do. You know what you make of when you're under pressure. Life's always going to go after your joy, your peace. And I tell you guys, I praise the name of Jesus because all through in the past 2 weeks, I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, yeah. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy. Come on, help me out. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Hey, seriously. Because this joy, this peace that I have, the world doesn't give it. I see people that has nothing, living on dirt floor. But they have joy. They have joy. And you're like, why would you be happy? And they tell you, I know Jesus. I mean, I move by faith. Every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every step I take, I'm taking you. Come on, help me now. Every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every step I take, I take in you. That's it. Every move I make in you. So Lord, I'm going to trust you. Beginning of this year, 2020, I preach a sermon on faith. The best thing as citizen of heaven, as a disciple of Christ, we can do is to trust our tomorrow to the maker of tomorrow. Because I don't have tomorrow. I don't know tomorrow. Isn't that crazy? None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So I'm not going to live in fear. Faith over fear. I love it, I tell you. Thank you, Becky. Faith over fear. I choose to believe. I choose to live by faith. Every move I make by faith. The world's going crazy. I don't even speak. That's why I said, you will have trouble. And that's even the word of Jesus in John chapter 14. He said, you will have trouble. You will. I have another song. Come on now. In the world, in this world, you would have trouble. But I give you my peace, that where I am, there you may also be. I lost my voice this week because I talk a lot. You see, just singing today was a miracle. When I am weak, he's strong in me. His strength made perfect when I'm weak. And that's what I'm challenging you guys. Don't let Satan. I won't let Satan steal my peace. I'm gonna keep it my peace. I won't let Satan lead out. I'm gonna let it shine. Why? Because the enemy is always after your relationship. He's always after your relationship. Satan doesn't want me to flow with God. He wants to cut our relationship. He wants me to live in chaos. You know, and this morning I want to take some time, probably next week, to talk to you about character in a disciple. I'm seeing it all over the place. Character is who you are in private. You know, character is what defines you. Character is what people see. It's what people, I don't know if people still, after you pass away. Now, I don't know if people still do that. But who cares what's written on your death stone? Because anything can be written on a stone, right? But what legacy do you want to leave behind? As a disciple of Christ, in your community, when I'm saying in your community, I'm talking about your neighbor, your acquaintance, your friends, your family. What impact have you made in their life? I've been talking about discipleship, but now let's make it a little personal. Let's say the Lord would call you home or call me home, because I know I don't. You know, we said let's get rid of the we statement, I statement. The Lord would call me home. Because believe it or not, all of us would like to live an extra day. It's okay. Nothing wrong about that. But if the Lord would call me home sooner or later, what impact would I have on my generation? What gap would I leave? What impact my character would have made on them? Character is one of the most important things you have as a disciple. Your character. See, today I want to challenge you to invest in it. Anything that can stain your character, you need to remove in your life. I don't know what it is. I know for me what it is. Anything that can stain your character, remove it in your life. I keep telling people one of the best thing, if you could remember to do it, certain things, certain important argument or discussion or some stuff you need to clarify, never try to do it on text. That's why I got it now. It's very stupid, excuse me the expression, for anybody to express your feeling or your personal opinion on social media. Because somebody can take it. You might mean this, and they take it like this. Out of proportion. So let me tell you this. Wisdom from the Lord, it's not worth it. If you want to say something to anybody, you call them. Now, I'm not talking about the word of the Lord. Sin is sin. Injustice is injustice. Racism is racism. Now, it's not just racism between white against black, but what about the racism between white and white? You know there's a class system in the white people class? Well, any your value comes from where you live or what you drive. Why would anybody feel any better than anybody else because they can afford a car, a $70 car, and the other person is driving a $5,000 car? You see how messed up it is? Kingdom perspective. Your character is who you are. So don't let anything... So let me tell you this. Is your character reflecting who you are? And you are a follower of Christ. The way you treat people. At work. I mean, in Haiti. Oh, my goodness. I'm mad. $85 for a COVID test. So I don't have COVID because I just took a test. And I took two tests in less than 10 days. I'm good. $85. That's all cash. Going in the pocket of the government. And if one flight out, it's got 300 people, you do 85 times 300, you know the number. And you do that by 9 flights through the day. Okay? So, you know what's happening. By the end of 1 month, the government's making 70 million. 68 million in 1 month. That money could develop the country. That money could... I'm like, how come nobody's doing anything about this? Talking about injustice. Injustice. People are suffering. But you know what? God is on his throne. He is sovereign. You're like, God, why don't you do something? He's like, there's a time for everything. Let them do it. We, God's people, we keep our focus on the Lord. Because things like that can make you so mad and you become bitter. And I've told you already, you cannot pray for any government, any president from a place of bitterness. See, if I hate Trump, there's no way I'm going to pray for Trump. God bless him. Oh God, change his heart. The president in Haiti, if I hate him, I can't pray or bless somebody out from a position of bitterness. I need to be, my position would be, I believe God is in control. He's sovereign. Lord, I trust you. You see the suffering. I could go there with $1 million. I would still not have enough money to bless and to help. Pay for hospital bills. Feed people. Do not waste God's favor on you. Don't waste it. Be thankful. Be grateful. I told you this already and I'm going to tell you again. All of you can talk to me anytime. I'm an open door for you. But please, you can complain to me, but really you have no reason to come complain to me. Now I'm not saying this so you don't, I'm not stopping you, okay? You can always come complain to me, okay? Let's make this clear. I'm your friend. I'm your pastor. Okay? You can always. But you know when you come, I'm going to challenge you with that complaint. Because I know people that are going through the same thing you are. 15 times worse. And then you and I can talk about some of the things you have so you could be thankful for. Because the enemy, he wants us to focus. He wants us, got it. Listen, I said got it. God, listen, is got it. But listen, the enemy wants us to focus on the negativity, on the things that you don't have, things that should be right. But I tell you, look at what the Lord has done in your life. Life is very, extremely short. You go to a community and you see all those guys. They were young men. They were pretty much kids. Some of them kids, growing up teenagers. Now they're like maybe in their 30s, and they're looking old. Never had a job. Never had any opportunity. Some of them saying they're going to try, they're going to die trying getting out. Nobody heard this on the news. Last week, there's a boat trying to cross the ocean. A boat that can only take maybe 25 people, had 90 people in it. There's always room for more. But there's always room for more. We all want our space, but I tell you, in your space, there's always room for more. 90-some people. The thing sank. Lots of people died. Most of them didn't know how to swim. But they said, I'm going to try. I'm going to die trying than living here. Guys, be encouraged. Jesus is returning. We sang it together. We declared it. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come. Oh, let justice, peace, righteousness be established. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me be your follower. Let my character reflect you. You see, character is something that you hold fast to inside, in your inside. I didn't have. Your character will protect your vision. I didn't have time to come up with two pictures. I don't know if Xavier would have enough time to figure it out, but picture it in your mind. A strong man. I stopped going to the gym this month, actually. Good thing, because it's warm. I can run outside. I feel good. But I start having a good problem. This started getting too big. And my shirts were getting too tight. So I said, you know what? I'm going to run. I'm going to work on other parts because, you know, it's cold. You go into the gym. What do you do? You're doing. And then before you know, my shoulders are getting too big and my shirts, I'm not going to buy any more shirts.
What size is that shirt? I'll take it.
That's right. That's a good one. You know? Good discipline. I'm not buying more pants. Listen, if I'm going to... If they get in too tight, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something so I can fit in. That's my philosophy. But two guys in the Bible, Samson, when we think about Samson, strong, big, you know? There's a story here. Let me read it. Let me just give you something right here. You know, Samson, he was a judge in Israel from the tribe of Dan. Samson defeated the Philistine. He even oppressed them. I mean, Samson set 300 fox tails on fire. Samson killed 1,000 men in one day. Carried a large gates to the top of a hill. But guess what? He got destroyed. Because he was seduced and deceived by a woman called Delilah. And at the end, you know what happened when you read Judges. Poked his eyes. You see, character will protect your vision. Reputation is who you are in public. Well, I have reputation. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader in the kingdom. I have a voice. I would say I'm more famous in Haiti than here, but it's okay. Yeah, it's all good. It's all about Jesus, it's not about me. But you know what? Who doesn't like a good reputation? We all like a good reputation. Character will protect your reputation. So if I don't take care of my character as a disciple, as a follower, I'm not talking about leader, as a follower, if I don't take care of my character in private, if I'm in my office, And I'm watching things online. I'm backstabbing people when I talk to people. I'm cheating people. And then I come up here. My reputation is, listen, I'm a public speaker. I talk to people. People ask me for counsel and stuff. Reputation is who you are in public. But your character is who you are in private. So therefore, take care of your character, because your character will protect your marriage. People don't want to talk about it. But just like guys go after women, women of course also go after guys. And you're like, well, why would a girl would come to me and they want to go out with me? I'm married. Well, it don't matter. It's like, oh, you look good. You don't need to give me anything. We just want to spend some time together. But the price is very high. I'll break my God's heart. I'll break my woman's heart. Or we do it, nobody knows. And then what? How would I live? Samson, he had a purpose. But because he lacked character, what happened to him? And studies shows that Samson died before his time. Strong. Because he lacked character, lost his vision. There's another guy, Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob. See, Jacob, what happened to Joseph? Where did I write it? Joseph chooses prison over pleasure, when Samson chooses pleasure over the values of the kingdom. And you know the price he paid. Joseph suffered. But do you know that God prepared Joseph for the deliverance of the people of Israel? Can you imagine if Joseph slept with Potiphar's wife? I mean, everything was going for Joseph at that moment, right? But Joseph said, how could I do this to my God? He says, my master give me authority over everything in this house. Except you, woman. I read it again last week. It says, Potiphar's wife was watching Joseph. What happened? The loss of the eye. She saw him and wanted to sleep with him. And the day she was waiting for a wife, when she was in the house alone and Joseph was there too. She's like, oh, I'm done talking. Aggressively went after him. And you know the rest of the story. As citizen and disciple of Christ's character, be reminded that character is self-imposed discipline in keeping with moral conviction. See, self-imposed discipline is the key. I told you, at 44, I don't want a big belly. So what am I going to do? If my belly is popping out, I'm going to either... Now, it's not a sin having a big belly, okay? Please, don't feel bad. It's me. You know how I am. I talk to you guys. That's me. But you're not sinning if you're looking good in a big belly, all right? Please, all right? Please listen to me. This is Ricardo's personal conviction. And when I talk to you wide open, all right? And guys, seriously, if I'm not working that hard, I would already have a bigger belly. Because my family, we all have big bellies. My brothers, they all have big bellies. My sisters, they all have big bellies. We get fat in two places, belly and faces. You know? So please, all right? No condemnation. I'm just telling. And you know what? The more faith come by hearing, the more I speak it, I'm like, all right, well, if this belly is getting too big, I got to do something about it, because I told you I'm not getting a big belly. And then the moment you start seeing a big belly, Dave's, my brother, he's going to be like, Esther, come on now. I see that belly. You know? So I put myself, I impose certain rules on my life. My life depends on spending time with Jesus. So I self-impose certain rules. I want to spend time with God. As a worship leader, I spend time in worship. Worship shouldn't be a work for me. I don't want it to be work. It's a privilege. All of you here, it should be a privilege to worship the Lord. So I impose myself. I put myself in my own prison, principal prison. I don't tell people to do something I don't do. Friday. We had a meeting with all of our cell leaders because that, you know, Sunday, by Friday, some people started to hear that I'm here, I'm there. So then I'm like, okay, I can't be there, I can't stay for Sunday morning, but I want to meet with all my key leaders and cell leaders and the ministry teams and some of the other pastors we oversee. I couldn't see all of them, but then I told them, choose any time because I'm here. Just tell me and I'll go to the church and we meet. Well, they sent me a text saying the meeting's at 4:30. Okay, I told Kendra, 4 o'clock. 4:30, some people started coming. I was like, everybody's not here. I'll wait. Call me when you're ready. It's 5:15. 5:15. And then one of the pastors came, Pastor Blackwell, he came. I said, yeah, I thought you said at 4:30. He said, yeah, you know, we tell them at 4:30 so we can start at 5:30. You know, they always come late. And that's how it is. But I told him, I said, man, you're breaking the culture. When I have a meeting with you at 10, it's 10 o'clock. It's not 10:15 or 10:05. There's what you call emergency. On the way, I might have a flat tire, I might have an emergency, then I call. I'm like, you know what, I wasn't planning on it, man, just give me a couple minutes. You see, you're creating a culture where we don't trust each other. When, oh, meeting is at 10, oh, they won't start at 10. And then people start coming late. I said, that's so bad. I said, that is so bad. You put yourself as a leader, as a follower of Christ, you put yourself in a position when you tell someone something, you're not just preaching to them. It's a lot easier to tell people to do things you don't do. But I tell you, it's a whole new level when you have imposed those disciplines on you. You have the authority because you know what you're talking about. You have the power to say, hey, you can do it, man. You don't do this. You don't treat people that way. When they treat you this way, this is how you answer. It's not easy. A person of character impose on them the discipline and the principle they want to impart to other people. And that's why we said anybody who is doing the gospel the right way, man, you'll be such at peace with people. And when you speak with, that's why people, we know it. People say, I don't want anything to do with the church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're trying to tell you a bunch of things. Follow this, follow that. Don't eat this, don't do that, don't wear this. But they're not doing it. They don't want to do it. Jesus, he led an example for us to follow. And I tend to be like Christ. And I pray today that you will make the decision to be like Christ. There are in the Bible tons of examples we could take. Joseph, Samson, just to enumerate some of those. But listen to this verse in Romans chapter 5. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. See, when you go through tough time has a way to build good character in you. I hate the bank in Haiti. I hate going to the bank. It's not safe. But our ministry's got one account, my name, another guy's name, and the church secretary's name. So when we sent money down, there are details I shouldn't give. So I went to the bank this week. I'm calling out patience, patience, patience. Have you ever found yourself in a position to call out for patience? Because you feel like, I don't have patience. Oh, patience. I feel like I'm going to blow up. I'm going to explode. I'm going to say things I can't say. I mean, I'm going to regret. Patience. I call patience. I was in a situation this week where I called patience for an hour. 3.5 hours later, I'm still calling patience. Patience. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I'm like, Lord, I really need patience right now. And you know, when you don't have patience, you know how you get? That's how I get. Okay? That's how I felt. I'm calling patience. 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 The person I was with says, Pastor, you're calling patience. I was loud. I was just like, patience. Guys, it wasn't something I was saying in my heart. Verbally, patience. Patient is patience. So I said, I call mwele patience. Mwele patience. I call patience. I said, patience. Mwele patience. Mwele patience. Hour and a half later, the person's like, oh, you still, ou toujours après les patience? Have it! Because you know, right now, I don't have it. And I want to kill somebody. Even if I can't physically, but you know what? In my mind, I want to get so mad. It's like, man, how can you treat people like that? But what power do I have? None. It would steal my joy. It would steal my peace. I would get a headache. My eyes would turn red. And I would get constipated for 2 days. Because, I don't know. That's what happened to me. Okay? I don't know. That's how the after effect. But that's what happened to me. You know, I start having backaches. You know, sometimes you have back pain. It's because you're so stressed out. Stress attack the weak part in your life. And some of us might have a weak back. So then when you're stressed out, you have back pain. So I'm calling patience. Patience, patience, patience. Patience. I call it. 3.5 hours later, I got up. I was just, I got to go talk to somebody. And I went and talked to somebody. I was like, I find out I didn't have to be there 3.5 hours later. The other person could have taken care of. But then she told me they needed me. I'm like, how come they need me when I'm never there? But good thing I was there. So I'm like, all right, patience, you finally came. You know how I come? I didn't have to be there. Remove yourself from this situation. Got on my motorcycle, went and do something else. Put yourself under your own principles. More than that, Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that when we suffer, that produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So this morning, as I wrap this thing up, I'd invite you to check where you are in character. You should be a disciple of Christ. And a good disciple of Christ is a person of character. Protect your character. Oh, protect it. Invest in your character. You know, last year I talked a little bit about character. And I do have that picture in my office. Some of you go in there and look for it. It's in that thing I have back there in my office. It's that statue, right? You remember, Aaron? I see you still have that picture as your profile. Character, statue, don't change. It's rain or shine, character. A statue is a character. They remain the same. Winter, summer, spring, and fall. Every day, if you go and check that statue, they would still be. And some of you, there are certain statues been there for a long time. They're there the day they put them there. Unless somebody removed them. And even when somebody removed them, guess what's how are they going to go? They're going to carry them like this. Right? Because they are character. And that's how we should live as a disciple of Christ. We should be people of character. You know, this month, my worship leader is on sabbatical, and I thank God for that. So I can't ask him to come up, but I'll ask my helpers to come up. Yeah, we give Dan off this month, so he can just come and receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, Jim, why don't you take the mic and pray for us after this message? Jim, why don't you pray? I'd encourage you to pray for us as I do the next song on character. If anybody here needs prayer, or if you feel like, you know, your character.